A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to an episode that I am releasing this summer. It's not really the Love Life Connection, not really my new podcast that I'll be releasing hopefully this fall. But I do just want to share some things with you over the summer. So you have some things to listen to support you with both money, but then also relationships and dating and all that kind of stuff. So if you're like totally lost and don't know what I'm talking about, make sure you listen to episode 360. I released that on May 25th, I believe. And I obviously give a much deeper explanation there, but I am letting the Love Life Connection go. It has been my podcast baby since January 2016. And I am going to be turning everything over to money and personal finance and how it shows up in your life and relationships and how you can grow it and get more of it and all that kind of stuff. And since I have transitioned, I've heard mostly like, feelings of excitement from people, both in my email and Instagram, which is great. I mean, obviously I love to hear that. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I was hoping you would talk more about this money stuff because you already kind of do and I love your perspective or really excited to learn from you in this new avenue. And then, of course, there are the people that are disappointed and I totally hear that. And obviously, you're allowed to feel whatever you need and want to feel. I'm not going to sit here and tell you not to feel like that. I follow plenty of folks myself and you know, they go through transitions as well. And sometimes I'm all ready to go with them. I'm like, yes, this is so exciting. I'm all in. And sometimes I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. I really liked when you talked about, you know, whatever the thing was. And it's okay. You know, we live in this weird society where on the one hand, not changing is bad, but then also changing is bad. So it's more about just like what fits, you know, any person's narrative. So what I mean by that is, you know how you run into someone from high school and in your head, at least, you're like, oh my gosh, this person is like the same person they were when they were 17. It's like 20 or 30 years later. And you're like a little judgy about it, which, you know, I wouldn't be either. So I wouldn't put that past myself. And then at the same time, when people change, especially in a way that bumps up against our own edges or our own insecurities, we can be really uncomfortable and be like, oh, they've changed, or they're just different than they used to be, or they're just whatever, you know? And, you know, that happens too. And it happens a lot with politicians, right? Like, you can see like something that a politician used to believe 10, 20, 30 years ago, and like, oh, they're just flip-flopping. Well, maybe they're flip-flopping, which would be a problem, but maybe also they're just changing and evolving and growing like how humans ought to be, at least in my opinion. So, yeah, I've been changing and growing and evolving. And I know from the outside, the change feels and looks pretty abrupt. But I just wanted to share this episode because I wanted to give a little bit of a deeper reasoning as to why I wanted to transition and leave. And by the way, I in the midst of the transition and my upcoming maternity leave, I'm actually recording this on my bed where the baby's coming any day. So I'm lucky to get this episode out to you at all. But I don't have my podcast producer anymore. So this is largely going to be unedited. I am just riffing here. I don't have a script or really notes. I'm just sharing with you what I've been thinking about and what I would, you know, thinking about in terms of like wanting to share with you. So just FYI there. So anyways, I wanted to share a little bit of a deeper reason as to why I left and how it, I know again, from the outside, it looks like I abruptly shifted gears. But this has actually been brewing for quite some time. I'm also just the kind of person where once I see something, I can't unsee it. Right. And I can point to various parts of my life where this has happened. Right. I have talked a lot about on the show how I became a vegan and I just decided I'm like, I'm going to be a vegan. And then I did. And then I decided I wasn't going to be vegan. And then I wasn't. I would be in relationships and I would really like the person. And then all of a sudden, I don't really feel it anymore. And I would just leave. Maybe not quite like that, but you know, I would just be done with it and it'd be time for me to exit the relationship. Same with jobs, career paths, all that kind of stuff. If for those of you who are like the OG with me, if you've been following me since like 2015 or so, you know, I started as a health coach. That was my initial training. And then it took less than a year for me to realize that wasn't it. And my transition to dating and relationship coaching was actually fairly, that was quick. That was quick, both inside and outside. I will admit that was quick. But once I saw it, you know, and I saw this new way to move forward, I was like, oh yeah, this is for me. That's kind of how the money and finance thing came about. So to kind of share how this has actually been a longer transition for me, from the inside, we have to go back to 2020. Some of you might remember that year. It was a hell year. Obviously, there was lots of things going on in our world. Pandemic, BLM, election. But then obviously, also, that was when I had my... Well, not obviously. Some of you might not know. That's when also when I had my son. And so there's just a lot of transition. A lot of things going on and a lot of things getting shaken up. And to be totally honest, in my opinion, like for better, right? I don't think this was necessarily, you know, bad things that were happening. What I mean by shaken up is the underbelly, the darker sides of our financial, political, social systems were getting exposed. And this was happening everywhere, right? Like we can see it happening. We saw it through the BLM protests. But I think it was also beginning to happen in the personal development, self-help world, which had largely been operating under the, I don't want to say under the radar, but certainly not in mainstream culture. But, you know, what BLM really brought up was obviously not just this realization for too many white people that racism still, in fact, was alive and well, but also just these really unfair, toxic, you know, practices in which people used to talk about how to improve yourself or how to make sales or, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so some of the darker tenets of that began to come up. And one thing that I've railed about against a lot on the show and honestly before 2020 as well, was this idea of like law of attraction and manifesting. And it seems like this really great thing. Like all you have to do is just have high vibes and think good thoughts and you can like have the boyfriend or the money or the body or whatever the thing is, the house, the thing is that you want. And the law of attraction works much better if you are white, thin, able body, probably young, like 40 and under is my guess ish. All that kind of stuff, right? It's much easier to, you know, and we just see this everywhere, right? Like, you can look at like even like Bachelor contestants. White contestants get way more followers than women of color contestants. And when you have more followers, you can monetize. And so is it really like law of attraction that's working if they're doing that or manifesting? Or is it like that they're white? You know what I mean? So things like that were just coming up to the surface and people were beginning. And what I mean by people, I really do mean like people with privilege were really beginning to kind of see what was really going on. And to be honest, I thought it was a good thing. And it is a good thing. It is a good thing. Because I think a lot of people were getting exposed for some shady practices, not necessarily tied to race or ethnicity, but just like shady business practices or shady like high vibes kind of thing. I mean, this is really when diet culture really began to take a tumble, you know, like the shaming and the like, you just have to lose 10 pounds or whatever. Like all of that stuff was just beginning to be not so PC anymore, not so women friendly and all that kind of stuff. I mean, just everything about the way we lived our life began, like even just like how often we go into the office, how many hours we work, the kind of work-life balance that we want moving forward. I mean, remote work still hasn't gone away, even though like it's perfectly fine to go into your office, right? So like this was happening all over the place and this was good, right? And so I had my baby in the fall of 2020 and I started working a little bit. I had some client sessions beginning probably January, February, 2021, but didn't really start working again until spring 2021 when I had my mother-in-law helping me and then we put Marshall in daycare part-time. So I had more time to actually like get back into the podcasting and the emails and all that kind of stuff that I needed to do to run a business. And around that same time, Rachel Hollis, who I'm sure many of you have heard, I think she had many, you know, spats and downfalls, but this was like her major downfall where she like lost $100,000. $100,000 followers on Instagram. I'm sure she did lose a much more than 100,000 followers. I know she had to like cancel her conference that she was about to have, and I think she lost some sponsorships and some brand partnerships that she had with other influencers and whatnot. Anyways, I don't remember exactly the play-by-play. If you Google Rachel Hollis in New York Times, it was a really lengthy, so definitely brew a cup of coffee first, article on everything that happened. And I think it is pretty thorough and pretty good. But she was such a large, literally influence in the internet and especially in the personal development space for women that her downfall was significant enough for places like the New York Times, LA Times, lots of podcasters to cover it and like expose like what was going on or what happened to her. And I think there was many things that happened to her that I was not aware of because I never really followed her. I never read her books. She wrote like Girl Wash Your Face, Girl Stop Apologizing. Never read those. Don't care to. I'm not really her target demo. Let's just put it that way. She has definitely lied to her people many times. So I'm not sure anyone wants to be lied to, but you know, whatever. but one of the things that really set her off on her downfall was one, she compared the work that she does to like Harriet Tubman and Maya Angelou, which I'm like, I don't think that quite works. She also quoted some black women on her Instagram and didn't attribute it to anyone. She basically made it seem like she was the one saying these quotes. And then she also said some degrading things about how she, you know, hires people to clean her toilets and like just said in a really degrading way. And so this was what led to the downfall, losing 100,000 followers, losing the partnerships and the brands and blah, 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 blah. Anyways, so this is my perspective of what happened from here. So I'm not saying this is like fact, but this is my experience as someone who is also in the personal development space, albeit occupying a much different and smaller corner of the internet than someone like Rachel Hollis. But from my perspective, what happened is because again, her downfall was so big because she had such a large following. You know, she wasn't like as mainstream as like Tony Robbins or Oprah by any stretch, but like she definitely wasn't not mainstream at all. Of course, New York Times and all that kind of stuff helped put her into the mainstream. And what happened is, again, from my perspective, is that it became not just a scrutiny on what happened with her and the mistakes and the missteps and the oversights that she made. It was really just became like a, this is what's going on in the personal development industry and it's bad. And there was, in my opinion, a lack of nuance, a lack of like, yeah, there's people that are doing really shitty things in the personal development space, which is absolutely true. I've been beating that drum for a long time. There's definitely some toxic behaviors like toxic positivity and the law of attraction, which can create a lot of harm for people who are trying genuinely to improve themselves, help themselves in a situation. But there was just no nuance around the good and bad parts of the personal development industry. It was just all kind of written up as if it were all bad and illegitimate and a little grifty. And there are all those things in the personal development industry, as there are in every industry. And I would tell myself this all the time. You know, there are good apples, there are bad apples, there are good lawyers, there are bad lawyers, there are good doctors, there are bad doctors, there are everything. And same with people in the personal development industry. There are people who are doing really good work, which I like to at least think I'm trying to be the best I can. I have friends and colleagues that are doing amazing work in the industry. And then I see people where I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know if you should be doing that or saying that or charging that or teaching that or whatever. But I wasn't going to sit here and try to police everybody because, I mean, what the fuck would that do? Anyways, my point is that it just got to be really, really exhausting to be in an industry that was, at least again, what I felt like was shat on all the time by mainstream news media.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And even would seep into things like just little side comments like, oh, is she a life coach? Like, ha, 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 ha. The Bachelor, shortly after this, started putting one or two contestants on their shows, like in their pools of people who were like motivational speakers or life coaches. And they were never the serious contenders for the lead. They were always like the laughing stock. And the way they were edited was just like, let's make a joke of them and a mockery, kind of like look at this life coach acting like this. Like, isn't that ridiculous kind of thing? And it's just demoralizing and exhausting and degrading when you're in an industry. Again, like I said, that's just getting shat on constantly. And I would try to keep my head down and just do my work and work with my clients, because my clients were the ones that were just, you know, absolutely lighting me up. And I really do on it. And I really do feel like that. And honestly, I think it was my clients that kept me in this space for so much longer than I did, because I would have these amazing clients and amazing sessions where we really got some good work done. And I would leave those sessions, like I would close out Zoom and I'd be like, all right, I just need to tune out the rest of the stuff and just focus on these women that are showing up because they're amazing and we're accomplishing amazing things. And so that would give me the energy to keep going. But, you know, you have to market a business. And so it was getting more and more difficult and degrading to do that. And so it just began to feel like a little, I don't want to say broken, but it just wasn't working the way it had been. Because I was having trouble with that more front-facing part of the business that I needed to do, right? Like it is a business. I needed to get in front of new audiences or, you know, find some ways to do that. But I think because things had been tainted both within the industry, but then also by people outside the industry, it was just harder to market. And it just became, so that was more difficult, which was fine for a while. But then again, just the burnout and the exhaustion just really began to catch up with me. And I know being in the money space is certainly still a form of personal development. I do think that I am meant to be in this space, but I just needed to occupy a different corner of it. I didn't want to be, you know, I'm not really calling myself like a money coach or a financial coach, or I'm certainly not a money mindset coach. I really want to be more in the consulting space, so that the work I'm doing is more tangible. I just needed to transition again into something that was more like this. I mean, I just was, you know, for a couple of years, probably since, again, beginning of 2021 with the Hollis downfall through the end of 2022, I was just like constantly like, I know there's something else I need to be doing. It's at the tip of my tongue, it's under my nose, but I cannot see it. I was doing everything. I was pulling out all the stops to try to figure out what that thing was. Like, I would block my calendar for the day and have like a day to like go on walks and take long showers and journal, thinking like, oh, like all of this free time, you know, that's when you get your best downloads sometimes. It'll just magically come to me. I was like doing all of these like spiritual things for like the new moon and the eclipse and like when Mercury was doing this or that, or I was just trying everything and it was just not coming to me. And I was even trying to convince, so my husband is, he's an engineer and he's very like he could just fix things and he's very good with like woodwork and electrical work and that kind of stuff. And he's always talked about how there's such a market for that kind of stuff, because like it's seen as like low grade blue collar work, but like you can actually make a good living because you can charge a lot for it. And I'm like, start that business, like start doing work. And then as you get too many clients, like hire out and I'll just run the business. Like I just needed something like else to do that would, I don't know, like I was like even looking for like an just anything, you know, I just was like, there's something else I need to be doing. I don't know what it is. And maybe you need to have your handyman business. I don't freaking know. That never happened, by the way. Will it happen? Probably not. I don't know. Probably not. Anyways, so I've shared with you, if you've been listening to the podcast, that at the end of last year, literally the end of last year, December 31st, which is my birthday, my husband took me out for dinner and I was standing outside the restaurant while he was checking in on what was going on at the reservation because we were waiting for a bit. And that's when it just like hit me, like metaphorically, just everything just downloaded. I'm like, oh my God, it's money. Why am I not talking about money? Why am I not helping people with money? I am really good at it. I understand it really well. And it was one of those things where like I just figured, and I this was like a major block for me that I had the first few months of the year when I was still kind of thinking about it, not really talking about it publicly. I would talk about it with friends and I'd be like, well, I don't know, like everyone already knows about 401ks or, you know, interest rates or whatever. And everyone would say, no, they don't, Veronica. No, they don't. I'm like, yes, they do. So it's like a very different kind of business, because I feel like with my relationship and dating coaching business, I really created a business. You know, whenever I was recording an episode or writing an email, I would always think to myself, okay, what did myself 15 years ago, what did she need to hear? What does she need to know? And I would write from that place. With the money, like, I don't know, I've always known like this stuff and it's always clicked for me and it's always made a lot of sense. And so it never really dawned on me that this was a way that I could help people. And I'm hoping that I can take up kind of like a unique spot in the marketplace, so to speak. Because, you know, there's the finance bros who certainly know their money stuff for sure. I think they overcomplicate things. I also think they are a little shamey. I made that word up as well. You know, they'll talk about like those statistics like, oh, this percentage of Americans have $1,000 or less saved, or this percentage of Americans have this much in credit card debt, as if it's because they're a bunch of dum-dums and can't manage their money. And that's just not really the case most of the time. Like, there's no discussion around like how wages and salaries are historically low compared to the cost of living, and not even just within like the current inflation crisis, but even before that, that's definitely been true. And so when you're shaming people or embarrassing people for, you know, where they are with their money, it makes them not want to do it, you know? And obviously me talking about how salaries are low compared to cost of living and corporate profits and C-suite pay isn't necessarily going to change anything. If I can talk about it from that perspective, one, then it's less shamey, so it makes it more, it makes it easier to do the things that I am talking about doing. But then you can advocate for yourself because you can be educated, whether it's within your company itself or, you know, in the larger political social systems, right? And so there's not a lot, if any, of that that I can see. And then there are other women coming into the space, which is great. A lot of them are very young. They're single and or don't have kids, and so they can't talk about money from that kind of perspective. And I think, again, like talking about 401ks, credit cards are great, but you also just got to talk about how you think and talk about money within your relationships and raising kids, because it's huge. You can't, money doesn't exist in a vacuum from those things. And then, you know, I've talked a lot about the money manifestors and the law of attraction folks, and I think they are teaching very toxic, unhealthy money behaviors, like convincing you that you have to invest with them and their product or their program in order to prove to the universe that you're ready. Like, I fell for that so many times. And it was just, sometimes those were really irresponsible financial investments that I made. And I was fine, but I've seen other people make those kind of investments because of that kind of messaging, who definitely got themselves into a pickle or credit card debt, you know, things like that. And so, but the one thing they get right is they do talk about your relationship to money, which does matter. And so it's kind of all of these things combined, where it just like hit me, you know, that night at the restaurant for my birthday. And so that's where I'm at. And I don't know how long I'll be here, but I've been good with money since I was 11 years old, since I first started having my own money through my babysitting gigs. And, I want to talk about all of these things that I, you know, just shared with you, you know, in this episode. I know I've talked about some of those topics before, but it's always, bears, you know, mentioning again. But really the purpose of this episode was just to give you a bit of a deeper explanation as to why I transitioned and how, even though it might feel pretty abrupt on the outside, in truth, it's been brewing a lot on the inside. And again, I don't want to make anyone feel like I didn't like want to work with them or didn't want to create these podcasts. Like, honestly, this podcast and my clients, were really the things that kept me going. Even when things felt really hard or sticky in other parts, because, I know I have my dedicated listeners, and my clients, like I've already gushed over you guys, you're amazing. And that's what gave me the energy just to keep going. I think if I didn't have like the amazing clients that I had or the amazing listenership that I have through this podcast, I probably would have quit when I was initially feeling that, like, holy shit, what's going on to this industry back in the spring of 2021. And who knows what the hell I'd be doing? Who freaking knows? But I do believe I'm, on the right path, and, I just needed to hang in there and keep doing the good work that I think I'm doing, in this space. And so if you're disappointed that I'm not going to be talking as much specifically about dating and relationships, I'm really sorry. Again, I'm not going to try to change your feelings. You're allowed to feel however you need to feel. You're human. We're all humans here. I will be sharing some episodes this summer. As I was going through this transition, I've been on a number of my friends' podcasts who are all in the dating and relationship space. So hopefully you get to know them a little bit, but then also, you know, so you can listen to me talk about dating and money and relationships and all that kind of stuff. But then you can also check out their podcasts if you are looking for other folks to follow. Next, I'm going to have my friend Kira on the show. We actually recorded an episode, which I find it was so fascinating. I can't wait for you to listen to it. She has a totally different perspective on online dating than I do. And she actually has done like a history of dating and kind of like courtship. And so we talk about that in the episode, and it's so fascinating. I think it'll give you a ton of insight to dating today. So I'm going to air that probably next week. And then I was on her show talking about dating and money, and I'm going to air that the week after. And then I have some other podcasts, or interviews that are going to come out. And then hopefully that'll get me most of the way until fall. We'll see when I hope to start the new show. I don't have a name for the new show, but it'll probably be Run Your Money, since that seems to be what I'm going with these days. But, you know, we'll see. But if you do have any like ways you like me talking about money or topics, feel free to let me know, because I'm going to be brainstorming like how I want this show to look and feel and sound and what I want to talk about, probably on my notes app on my phone with the baby on my boob. So I'm open to any and all just topics when we talk about feedback, all that kind of stuff, because I can definitely use that in my ideation stage. And then other than here, which again, I'll have a show either every week or every other week, the best places to keep in touch are definitely Instagram or TikTok. TikTok's a little weird. You can't DM like the way you can on Instagram. But TikTok, I will be releasing probably almost daily videos with mini money lessons. I'm Veronica E. Grant there if you're on TikTok. And then Instagram, also Veronica E. Grant there as well. And again, daily, I don't know about daily, but money lessons. And, you know, Instagram's a little more interactive, so I'll be doing some Q&As and all that kind of stuff when I can come up for air from newborn land. So those are the best places to keep in touch. And then, of course, my Run Your Money newsletter, which I have queued up through most of the summer already. And I'm starting a new Run Your Money blog, Q&A series about money, some of my favorite tools, resources, things around the internet with your, you know, with your money, all that kind of stuff. So to sign up for that, you can go to veronicagrant.com/newsletter and sign that or sign up there. It's totally free. I'm super excited about it. And then I'll add the podcast to that newsletter, hopefully in the fall. And that's everything. So I hope you have a great summer. I can't wait to stay in touch. So make sure you reach out again on Instagram or wherever, to say hello and let me know your money questions and all that kind of stuff. And I hope this gives you a little bit more insight as to why I transitioned. I think it was just time, and you know, there was certainly some burnout just with how this industry is changing, and you know, that's that. All right, my dear, thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.